We're middle of the war, and it says over here, Vayichas Chol Rechus Stoyim, Vayichas Chem Rechum Rechum Vayichu, came up to Pasuk Gid Aleph. That's up from Pasuk Gid Aleph, I believe we're up to. In the Valley of Sidim, no, maybe not, maybe we'll pass it one, no, let's go back a little bit. No, we didn't get so far, I'm sorry. Pasuk Ches, that's we're up to. We're up to Pasuk Ches, Perik Yudal Pasuk Ches. The pasuk says, "Vayetzim Melech Stoyim Melech Amora, Melech Adma Melech Tzvayim Melech Belahit Tzayar." They went forth, the king of Sodom and the king of Amora and the king of Adma, and the king of Tzvayim, Melech Belahit Tzayar. Vayarchu Itam Melchama, and they arranged the war in the valley Beimek Hasidim. So part pasuk perigidal pasuk has. Okay, Mordechai is here. Say hello, Trebleza. See.
Evening, gentlemen.
Okay, we're over here on the shul. Yeah, we have some kids over here learning on the shul over here.
I don't have to take this myself.
Okay. So let's see. So we have over here the four kings that give the now over here. What is interesting about Pasuk Ches is that it says over here, we are no longer mentioning the kings by their names. We are now just referring to the kings by their location. Vayetze, Melech Sodom, Melech Amoro, Melech Adma, Melech Tzvayim, Melech Bela. So that's Sodom, Amora, Adma, Tzvayim, and Bela, Hitzayar. So here, what's different about this pasuk is that we're not mentioning their names. Yes, we learned that they were four kings, and we mentioned their names. Here, we're not mentioning, there were a total of five kings. Four of the five were mentioned by name. Now, when we're mentioning the kings, we're not mentioning them by name, we're just mentioning them by location. King of Stoim, King of Amor, Melech Adma, Melech Tzvayim, Melech Bela, Hit Tzayar, and Bela is the same as Tzayar. Vayarchu ito melchama, and they yarchu. The word vayarchu is an interesting word. Archu means they arranged. They arranged a war in the valley of Hasidim. Okay, let's see what it says over here in Rashi. Pasuk Ches. Rashi says, oh, there's no Rashi. Look at that. No Rashi. Okay, look at the Targum. Targum says, "Unefak Malko de Stoyim, Malko de Amoro, Malko de Admo, Malko de Tzvayim, Malko de Bela, Hitzayar, Visadaru." Okay, Visadaru is the translation of the word Vayarchu, which means is a seder, an arrangement. A war is an arrangement. There is a plan. It sounds like there is a calculated plan how to go to war. Im Hoin Kirovo war. B'meishar in the valley Chaklaya Sidim. So again, the same machlokes we had yesterday. Does the word Sidim mean fields, or does the word Sidim means line in the valley of the fields? Targum learns Chaklaya means a sodem. Okay, now let's see over here. Now let me just see if the commentator Pasuk Ches makes anything over here. Pasuk Ches Zayin Ches. Okay, I don't see any comments. There are no comments over here. Now we go to Pasuk Ches. Who did they go to war against? The five kings went to war. Es Kidor Lo Melech Elam, the Sidl Melech Goyim, the Amrafel Melech Shinar, the Arich Melech Elosar, Arba Melachim Esachamisha, the four kings against the five kings. So isn't it interesting that here when we list the four kings, we list them by name. This and the location. So this is really amazing. I never paid attention to this. The first time when we mentioned there's going to be a war, so we mentioned there are a total of nine kings. Okay, there are a total of nine kings. And of the nine kings, eight of the nine have names. And now, when the pasuk repeats that there was a war, it only mentions four of the nine with names, and everyone else does not have a name. Why did it do that? There's a reason. I don't know what the reason is. And also here, notice the order is the other way around. See, but when we first started, we said there were four kings, and there were five kings. And the five kings, they served the four kings, and then they rebelled, and then there was a war. Now, when we're talking about the war itself, it says that the four kings in their rebellion, the one that initiated the war, Vayetzeim, the one that initiated the war, they went out. They went out, the king of Sodom, Melch Amorah, Melch Adma, Melch Tzvayim, Melch Bela, Hitzar, Vayarchu, Yitam, Melchama. They went out to war against the four kings. And who are the four kings? Nochamol, the same people. Kidol Oimer, Melch Elam, Siddel, Melch Goyim, Amroch, Melch Shunar, Ayach, Melch Elosar, Arba, Melch Mesachamisha. And let's see what it's over here in the Rashi, Pasuk Tes. Arba Melachim, V'yaf al pichein, Nitzchu hamu, hamu atim. Nevertheless, even though there were five, and it was five against four, the four kings won. The four kings won. L'hodiyachah to teach you, Shegiboyrim hayu, they were mighty people. That the four kings were very mighty. V'yaf al pichein lo'nimna avracham milirdoif acharehem. The four kings were more mighty, and the four kings were able to overcome the five kings. And now when Avraham is now going to fight with the four kings, Avraham, however, the one person is able to overcome four mighty kings. Now, I don't understand this. How do you know that the four kings were more mighty than the five kings? Maybe the four kings had a much bigger population. You know, a king is just one person. The king represents a country. So you can go and you can take the United States, we'll go to war against United Kingdom, France, Germany, Poland, Ukraine, wipe them out. Because the United States has more nukes than all of them put together. So just because one has as a smaller number, who says it's not proportional? We all know that. That when it comes to war, there are some nations that have no weapons, and there are some nations that have a lot of weapons. So it doesn't make a difference how many nations align themselves on one team to fight. I don't know. But Rashi says something which really needs to be understood, that there were four kings versus five kings, and you would expect the five kings to win because they're a greater number. But no, the four kings won, and the four kings were Giboyrim. And therefore it comes to elevate, to bring out the miracle that when Avraham went to fight the four kings, Avraham was able to overcome even the four mighty kings. Okay, I don't know, it's a chiddush. It's a very big chiddush. But that's what Rashi says. Now what does the Targum say? Targum says, what are the names of the four kings? Im Kidor Lo'imer, Malka de Elam, Visidol Malka de Amamei, the Amraphel Malka de Babel, the Ariach Malka de Elosar, Arba Malachin, Likovel, Likovel means opposite, Chamsha, the five kings. Okay, there's really any chidushim over here? I don't see any major chidushim. Next pasuk, pasuk yot.
Where
do you see in the pasuk? We'll say, yeah, I'm sorry.
Who's the winner? It just says five.
Oh, so it doesn't say. You're right. That's the next pasuk. It doesn't say. The next pasuk, pasuk good, tells us who won the war. Very good. So Rashi, you're saying very good. Rashi over here, yeah, you're saying good. I don't know the answer. I guess you have to say the Rashi over here is saying something based upon what we know later on. Here we're listing the number, and based upon what we will learn later on, it becomes relevant. But the simple understanding is that we don't know at this point in time who won. We don't know. Pasuk Yud, the Emek, they fought in the valley of Sidim, the valley of the fields, according to the Targum. The Emek, and Rashi also said that, the word Sidim is Loshon of Sada. The Emek had the valley of the Sidim, Be'erois, Be'erois, Chemar. There were pits of Chemar. What is Chemar? Chemar is pitch. I don't know exactly, I have to see what this means in a second. Vayenusu melech stem v'yamor v'yip mushama. And the king of Sodom, they fled, and Amor, they fell there. The Hanisharim Heronasu. The other three. So there's a total of five. Two of them fell into the pits. And the other three, they fled. Nasu, they fled to the mountains. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Yud. A long Rashi. Be'erois, Be'erois, Chemar. Be'erois, Har, Be'ho, Yishon. Many pits. Shenoylim, Yisham, Adma, Letit, Shel, Binyan. What do these pits? These pits, there was clay. There was clay, and they would take from these pits clay for construction purposes. And fine, that's what, and they fell into these pits. Okay, these pits were very dangerous. They fell in. Umedesh Agada, Shoyatit, the cement was Megubal Behem. The Medesh Agada says, the tit was Megubal Bohem. That Melech Sidon and Melech Amoira is like quicksand. Mugbal Bohem. I don't know what that word means. Mugbal Bohem means it was, I guess, it got mixed into them. They were stuck there. And a miracle happened, and he was able to escape. That al derech hateva, it would have been impossible for the king of stone to get out of the quicksand. Why? Why did Hashem perform a miracle? Why did Hashem do a miracle? Lefi, shahayu bu'umos miktsasin, shlohayu maminim shenitzel avracha me'or kasdim mikiv shano esh. V'kevan shayotza zemin ha'chemor, heminu bi'avraham l'mafreya. It also requires an understanding what this Rashi means. What this Rashi means is that there were people that did not believe that Avraham Avinu was safe from the Ur Kasdim. Nimrod threw Avraham into a furnace, into the furnace. And what happened? Miraculously, because he did not want to bow down to Nimrod. Miraculously, Avraham Avinu survived. People didn't believe it. Here you have Nimrod, the same Nimrod, and he threw the king of Sodom into a pit of Chemah. And al pi derech hateva, he should die. But a miracle happened that Melech Sodom, he was thrown into the pit by the same exact person that threw Avraham Avinu into a furnace. And Nimrod now throws the Melech Sodom into this bear. And Melech Sodom miraculously survives. So wow, look at that. It goes to show that Nimrod's not such a hotshot. Because Melech Sodom miraculously survived. So now, the same way Melech Sodom survived, so therefore it's not so far-fetched to say that Avraham also miraculously survived. But this doesn't make any sense to me. Because the king of Sodom was a Rasha. As the pasuk yesterday said, the name of the king of Sodom, what was his name? Bera. And what does it mean, Bera? Ra la shamayim vira la briyos. So he was a Rasha. And Hashem, Nimrod, threw a Rasha into a pit. And he survived. Oh, if Bera, who's ra la shamayim, ra la briyos, survived, so Avraham, who's Toiv LaShamayim and Toiv LaBrios, also survived. I mean, so what does it do for us? What is that? I mean, how is that going to, people going to believe in Avraham Avinu? They'll say it's no big deal. There's no difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. The tzaddik survives and the rasha survives. So Hashem does. There are miracles that happen for both. So what does that mean exactly? How does that enhance Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu is nothing special. Avraham Avinu, if the Rasha dies and the Tzaddik survives, that goes to show that Hashem takes care of the Tzaddikim. But over here, the Rasha survived and the Tzaddik survived. So how does that enhance Avraham Avinu? I don't know. But that's what it says. Let's read the word Rashi one more time over here. Be'erois, be'erois, chaymar, be'erois, har be'chol yishu, there are many pits. That the four kings were mixed up in the cement. A miracle happened that he came out alive. Alright. What about the other three kings? It says here in the pasuk, Heronasu. They fled to the mountains. Now, we have a drasha. It should say, Lihor Nasu. The correct grammatical way would be, Li, to a mountain, did they flee? But that's not what it says. Lihor Nasu, it says, Hora, a hey at the end. And Rashi tells us a grammatical rule that the two are the same. Sometimes you can say the Lamed, Lihor, or if you don't want to say with the Lamed, you can say Har, and instead of a Lamed in the beginning, you put a hay at the end. And the hay at the end serves the same function as a lamed in the beginning. Kimo lihar. Kol teva, any word. Shetzricha, that needs a lamed bitchilasa, a lamed in the beginning. Hitlba lo hay b'seifa. If you put a hay at the end, then it's equivalent. Then he goes on to say, v'yesh chiluk bein hera liha hora. Aval einoy oimedes bimkoy mulamid unikudas does not tim makim lamid unikuda patach tachtecha. It does not serve to be like a patach. Lahare hera kimo lihar oy kimo el hahar the einoy mefarish eiz leizehar. Elishkul echad nos basher motso har tchila. Shunois in Heber Roisha lichtai hahara oi hamidbara pistroina kmo el hahar oi kmo lihahar umashmo lo oisa hahar hayodua umufurisha parsha. Okay, so the saying over here is when you want to go say the flood to a mountain, so there are two different ways you can describe a mountain. You can say lahar, to a mountain. Or you could say le hahar, which would mean to the mountain. So when you say to the mountain, oh, it's the famous mountain, Mount Everest, or Har Sinai, Har HaMoria. If there would be an extra letter, hey, it would mean to the world famous mountain that everyone knows. Famous, most famous mountain in the world, whatever that will be. Okay.
A specific mountain.
Right. It's like a specific which everyone knows about, like the, with the high idea. Oh, the famous mountain, Yerushalayim, or Har HaMoria, or Har Sinai, or whatever you want to go say, Mount Everest, whatever you want to go say, the famous mountain. But if you just say Lihar, it means to a mountain. So therefore, the thing over here is, over here. Basically, when you put a hey at the end, hera, it should say lihar. It doesn't say. It says hara. It says as a hera with a segel, hera nasu. So the hey at the end is only in place of a single lamid, and that's it. Which would then mean to the average mountain. We're not giving you any specific mountain, and that means they were being chased after the other three kings, and they ran away to wherever they can find an escape. They did not pick any specific mountain that had any meaning whatsoever. They just ran to the closest mountain to run away and not get killed. But if the pasuk would have said le ha hora with a double hey, then it would mean that these three kings, they ran to very specific mountains where they had bunkers and places where they can hide and not be killed. Now, he's saying over here is, when you put a hey at the end of a word, you, at most, there's a limitation. Sometimes you want to say le hahara, then you need a lamed. If you want to go have a double hey, the mountain, you must use a lamed. If you're going to leave out the lamed and replace the lamed with a hey at the end, and the hey at the end is going to serve in place of two, then you can never create a word that will mean the, a specific mountain. So it seems to be saying that in this grammatical concept, where you could have either a lamed in the beginning or a hey at the end, a lamed in the beginning, if you play your vowels correctly, could mean to the mountain. But if you have a hey at the end, you can never achieve that. So let's read those words one more time over here. So look at the grammar Rashi. Lahar nasu, hera, the word hera is kimo, when there's a segol, hera, it's equivalent to a shva, to le. And then he goes on to say, fine. Now he goes on to say the next one. When you have hera, which basically is lihar. Two, if the pasuk would have said alamid and have two hays, lihara, shehei shebesayva teva medes mokum lamid sheberoisha aval. Even though at the end makes a lamid, but it only makes a lamid with a single hay. Aval einoy medes b'mokim lamid unikudo patach tachtecha. It's not like la hor. If it would be la with a patach, la hor, la is like hohora. A patach is another rule, is like a double hay. Then it would be like the one and only mountain. If the word here, the pasuk, would be la hor, and the lamid would be of a patach, la, instead of a shvav le, it would mean they ran to the one and only famous mountain. But hare hera, but that's not what it says. There is no lamid, and there is no patach, so all it says is hera with a segol, and the hay at the end makes it into a lihar. And lihar means they just ran to any mountain they can find, for a hor or kamo lihar, or kamo el hahar. The ainu farish is a har. El shkol echad, each one of the kings nas b'asher matzo har tchila. Shu noisin hay b'roisha, lichtev hahara, oi ha midbara, or there will be a patach, like ha midbara. Then pisroin kamo el hahar, to the mountain. Or kamo li hahar, two hays. Umashma, then it will be mashma l'oisa har hayidua, Umefurish Rapash, the very famous mountain. But that's not what it says. Now, let's see the Targum. I get a feeling that if Rashi is making such a big deal about this, it must be because he's coming to disagree with the Targum. Let's see the Targum. Targum over here says, Pasuk Yod in the Targum, Umeshar Chaklaya, the plain of the fields, Beiron, it was Beiron, filled with pits. And then it says over here the word, he adds a word to the pasuk that does not say, maskon chemora. Okay, so the Targum is adding a word into the text that it does not say. And that word over here is maskon. Maskon means it comes up. It came forth from their chemora pitch. Let's see more. Va'araku malko distom ba'amoyra. Unefalu tamon, they fell there. Ude ishtaru, and the other kings, litura, to the mountain, araku, they fled. Now let's see what it says over here in the commentator, if he makes any point over here. He says, maskon, ma'alois, v'zois of aloshna kosov, v'kem and shoya miko, v'tzorch lo'ma be'eris, be'eros, v'kosov be'eros. Okay, so it says Be'er, not Boy Royce. Alkin Kos of Maskin Khamro, Shachemo Yunova, Vole Mitoichai, Kibe'er, Vole Yvosh does not become dry the oil. Now, it could be over here that there's a machloikis in Rashi and Unkelus. Because according to Rashi, Rashi points out they fell into the pit. And it was a miracle that he came out. According to Targum, the Targum says that it says Be'er instead of the word Be'er means like a spring. A spring means it's flowing. It comes upward. It comes forth. All right. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if this is really machlokes, but the word Damascon means it comes up. It comes forth. There was some life. There was some flow of liquid, of pitch in this pit. It came forth. I'll leave with that. And Chaymuk, okay, he doesn't say anything different. All right, so I'll leave with that. All right, Pasuk Yud Aleph. What happened? Now it says that Kidolo Oimer, Vayichu Eskol Ruchush Sudoim Va'amoira, the Eskol Ochlom Vayelechu. They took, who's they? I assume they refers to the four kings. The four kings was Kidolo Oimer Melech Elam, Sidl Melech Shinar, the Aryach Melech Elosar. Okay, these kings they took their possessions. The four kings took the possessions of the king of Sodom and the king of Amora. It sounds like that the other three kings escaped. They escaped because it doesn't say so. So they didn't totally win the war. These five kings went to war against the four kings. Two kings got stuck in the mud. The other three kings escaped, and now the pasuk says that the four kings took the possessions of only the two kings, Sodom and Amora. Vayichu eskol ruchushtoim v'amayra v'eskol ochlam, and they took their food. Vayelechu, and they left. What does Rashi say? There is no Rashi in this pasuk. What does the Targum say? Pasuk Aleph was shavo yoskol kin yonodistom. They captured. So we have over here a translation that it does not say in the pasuk. It says vayikhu, and the Targum says ushavoy. Ushavoy means they took captive. They took as captives. Shavo means a captive. The pasuk just says they took, and the Targum says they took captive. Shavoy. Yoskol kin yonodistom ve'amaru v'yoskol mei chalvan their food va'azalu, and they went. Okay, and that's it. Okay, over here. In the commentator, he writes, "Ushavo zo achas misheva esrei tsurois sheunkelis mitargen, one of 17 tsurois sheunkelis mitargen es hasherish lokach kol makim lufidin." Wow, it was worth it to wake up this morning to come to this moment in time. Did I make a bracha? I make a bracha, right?
I did. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
He just doesn't like that.
I have no recollection. So it says something over here that the word vayikach, it says the word vayikach in Torah many, many times in the Torah. Every time it says word vayikach, the Targum translates the word vayikach differently. And here it says vayikach means they took captives. Now he doesn't give you a list. But he says, trust me on this, the commentator on the book that I'm using here says, trust me on this, if you go through Tanakh, Chumash, Unkelus, and you come to the word Vayikach, it must say the word Vayikach many, many times, numerous times. I don't make believe it says it 15 times, 50, make believe it says it 50, make believe, maybe it says it 100 times. Then look at the Targum, and you will discover the Targum does not always translate the word Vayikach the same. And every time is a different. If you count the number of different translations for the word Vayikach, you will discover 17 different translations for the word Vayikach, depending on the context. I bet you no one knows that. Tonight, where Mordechai is going to go out to Shir to Avenue M, and he's going to stop every religious Jew on the street and ask them, what is the translation of the word Vayikach? Tabu Unkelis. He has 17 different translations for the Vayikach, depending on the context. Okay, that's quite interesting. And if you wrote a sefer on Unkelis, I think that would be a very good thing to discuss in your analysis of Unkelis. What is his role in translating the pasuk? He's not coming to give you a standard dictionary translation, because even in the Oxford unabridged translation of the English language, very rarely will you come across 17 definitions for a single word. So obviously, words in Hebrew are abstract concepts which have to be molded and translated based upon the context. Here, we're dealing with a war. And when you win a war and you take something from the battlefield, you're taking captives. Words in Hebrew, in Lashon HaKodesh, are abstract concepts which are translated based upon the context. Unlike every other language, where words are defined before you begin. See, that's the difference in Lashon HaKodesh. Other languages, you start off with a vocabulary, and then you create a sentence, a paragraph, to express an idea. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's a holy. The concept is presented first, and then you work backwards and you figure out what the words mean based on the context. And because you're working backwards, every story that you read, every passage, you're going to translate the words differently. Mordechai, you got that? That's a very deep concept. Okay, let's go now to the next pasuk. That was very interesting. Next pasuk. Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayikhu, they took eslot. Oh, by the way, today's Tuesday. Blazer, tomorrow there's no shir, because tomorrow, because I have a Shev Brachas right here in this room. They have me tomorrow. The Rav of this shul, his granddaughter got married on Sunday night, and tomorrow they're having in this shul a Sheva Brachas in honor of the Rav and his granddaughter's marriage. So it's at 8 o'clock. theoretically, I could have a shiur in the Young Israel of Midwood, but I want to come here on time, whatever. So let's just tomorrow take a break for tomorrow, unless I send out a text. Tomorrow we'll take a break. Okay, no shiur tomorrow. Pasuk Yudeis, Vayikru es Lot, they took Lot, Vyes Rechusho ben Achi Avram, Vayelechu, Vehu Yoshe Bistoim. Okay, so in addition, what else did the four kings take? They took Lot, his possessions. And who is Lot? Now notice it does not say they took his food. It says here they took, when they came to the king, when they came to Sodom and Amora, they took their possessions and their food. Here it says they took Lot and his possessions. What about his food? How come it doesn't say they took Lot's food? It was kosher. They don't want kosher food. How come they take their food? It says over here in Pasuk Gidalf, it says they took their food. Are you coming to Shabrachos tomorrow? Are you coming tomorrow, Shabrachos? You're invited. Come tomorrow, here. The shul, the rabbi's granddaughter. Yeah, you can come tomorrow. It's for everyone who comes to shul. It's 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock on the dot.
Lot was Abraham's brother's son.
Right, nephew, his nephew.
Nephew, I was always Sarah's wife's nephew, but it's his nephew.
It was Avraham's nephew, Avraham's brother, Haran. Haran was killed, Haran died. Haran was killed by Nimrod, he threw him into the Kivshon Oesh. He didn't want to bow down to the Avodah Zarah, so he was killed. He was killed, and this is his, and this is his nephew. Okay, so they took as Lot, ben Achi Avram, the son of the brother of Avram, Vayelechu, and the four kings went on their merry way, took a hostage. Okay, isn't it interesting over here that this week's parasha we're dealing over here in history of Klal Yisrael since the Holocaust, 200 hostages, and what do you have in the Torah hostage situation? You have here in this week's parasha you have a hostage situation. What's the chances that the only parasha you have a hostage situation against the backdrop of an eighth Sara? With 200 hostages, how did they get him? He was sitting in Sodom. So once the king of Sodom was no longer, because he was in this pit, so the people of Sodom were vulnerable. So the four kings they took Lot as a captive. Okay, let's see over here. Rashi, v'hu yoshev b'Sodom mi gorm lo zois yeshivosay b'Sodom. So Rashi over here says, what's the cause? Why did it happen that Lot was taken as a captive? It's because he lived in Sodom. He doesn't belong there. And he doesn't belong in Sodom. A nice Jewish boy doesn't belong living in Sodom. It's not a place for the nephew of Avram to be living. And because he went and he lived in the wrong place, you don't krich where you don't belong. You don't crawl where you don't belong. And that's why he was taken as a captive. Unkelus, and he was captured, Lot, and his possessions. Who was Lot? He was the Bar Achuhi de Avram, va'azalu, and they went. Who's they? They is the five kings, the four kings. V'hu yosei b'Sodom, and he was living in Sodom. Let's really hear what it says over here. There is any comment? There is no comment over here in the commentary. Now we go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk says, last pasuk at a time, we won't pasuk. Vayavaya polit, the escapee. Who's the escapee? This is Og Melech HaBashan. Vayageli Avram hu Ivri, vuhu shechein be'ilone Mamre. Avram was living in the plains of Mamre. Hoimari, we learned yesterday he was living in this place. The name of the place was called Elone, according to Rashi. Mamre was a region, and in the region there was a place called Elone, name of a place. Hoemoiri, he was, and who was this? And who was Mamre? Mamre was the Emoiri, and he was the brother. Mamre was the brother of Eshkol, and the brother of Vachi Oner. Vehem bale vris Avram. They were made a covenant with Avram. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says over here quickly. Now this can take too much too long to do. It's taking much longer to do. We have to wait until Thursday. Okay, it's a very long shuttle over here. We want to just read the first part. The Rashi. Who is the Paulid? This is Oig. She Paulim al Muhammad. He escaped the war. V'hu shakasabo rak oig nishar mi yeser ha-refoyim. He was the last survivor of the refoyim. V'hu zeh nishar shloihar gu amrofel v'chaveirav amrofel. And his other three kings did not kill Lot. When they first killed the Rephaim in Ashras Karnaim, they didn't kill Og. Tanchuma, Umedesh Resh Rabbah, Zeoig Shepolat Midor Hamabel. Why is Og called the Polat? Why is he called the refugee, the escapee? Either he escaped from being killed, two Perushim, he escaped from being killed by Amraphel, or he escaped the Mabul. How did he escape the Mabul? We don't find that he went into the Mabul. He held on to the table. Zeu miyeser refoyim, shenishar shenenar hanefilim hoyu ba'aretz. Umeschadein, what was his intent? That Avraham should go to battle, get killed, and then he will marry Sarah. Sheyoharik Avram v'yisa Sarah. He's called Ho'ivri Shabba Me'ever Hanar Bale Bris Avram Shekarsu Imo Bris. They made a covenant. Davaracher Shehisulo Eitzo Al Hamila. Why is it called Bris? Because when Avram went to do a Bris Mila, he asked him advice. Should I do the Bris Mila publicly or privately? Al Hamila Kamosh Mefurish Mokim Acher. Okay, well, we'll do this next time, Yitzhak, on Thursday. Okay, Meir, there's no shir tomorrow night. There's a Sheva Brachas tomorrow night over here on the shul, so we're not having a shir tomorrow night. Next shul will be Thursday night. Welcome back to America.
Welcome back.
Aleza, thank you for coming and learning with me. The Rav's granddaughter. The Rabbi Shmimin's granddaughter. Yeah.
I
must go. Yes, I must go.
Okay.
Going to be here in the shul. Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. How you feeling? How you feel? How's your back? Oh, you left already. All right. All right, Rav Mordechai Mizrahi, thank you for coming along with me.